Well, it's great to be back with you again. It's just about 3 years that I became the director of Teen Challenge North in Sault Ste. Marie, and almost 2 years ago, I guess, since I was here last. Last year, our counselor, Marie Stevenson, came and shared with the team, but it's my pleasure to be back here with you folks again. Now, when I was here 2 years ago, I maybe mentioned, you know, my name McDougall is fairly well-known in this neck of the woods, and people had been asking me ever since we moved here, are you related to the Thessalon McDougalls and McDougall Energy and all that kind of stuff? And I'd say something like, yeah, probably. If you go back 250 years to Scotland, you might find a connection. You know, even though I really kind of wish that I was related to the McDougall Energy people, I'm not. However, since I was here last, I discovered that I do have a connection. I discovered that my grandfather, who I am named after, Charles Clifford McDougall, he was killed in Belgium in 1944. My dad didn't really get to know him all that well. But anyway, I discovered that he was born in Thessalon. His family had moved up from St. Thomas area in 1902, and his father worked on the railroad in Bruce Mines, bringing the coal down, or the ore down to the harbor. And shortly after they moved up here, the mine closed, and he tried to farm for a little bit at Little Rapids, and they moved back to southern Ontario about 1906. So Charles Clifford McDougall, was born in Thessalon. So that was one connection that I discovered that I had to northern Ontario. And also, just recently at Bruce Cain's funeral, I discovered that I had a connection to this church. Hillary Cain, or Hillary Kingsley, is married to James Kingsley, and I hired James Kingsley at the Teen Challenge National Office in London, and got to know Hillary through that relationship. But then Hillary actually taught two of my children in high school in Ingersoll. So, you know, it's a small world. And everywhere that I go across the north, I'm meeting people that I have connection with. And it's just amazing. It's a small world, and God's family is small. It's huge, but it's small. Do you know what I mean? We have these connections, and it's wonderful to make them. Anyway, we're here to talk about Teen Challenge, and I'm not going to talk as much about Teen Challenge as I did last time I was here. I know this congregation knows us fairly well, but just by chance, just by a show of hands, has anyone here never seen a Teen Challenge presentation? The folks from Tanzania, maybe not. Awesome. I do have a video, though, just to remind you about what the work of Teen Challenge is like, kind of on a national scale. So if we could run that that video, please.
Skilled trades, computer programs, general.
about what we're all about and to give you a sense of what's happening nationally with Teen Challenge. I just want to clarify a couple of points. The video said that Teen Challenge Canada oversees six centres. That is true. But one thing I want to make you aware of, there are three organizations that operate and oversee Teen Challenge centres across Canada. So Teen Challenge Canada Inc. is headquartered in London, and that is the flagship for Teen Challenge in Canada. And they oversee our operation in Sault Ste. Marie, as well as a centre in Alberta, Saskatchewan, Moncton, New Brunswick, Women's Centre just outside of Toronto, and soon to be another Women's Centre in St. John's, Newfoundland. Now, besides our organization, there's Teen Challenge of British Columbia. They operate four centres. Teen Challenge of Central Canada, they operate three centres. And then there are a couple of independent organizations in Quebec. Altogether, there are 15 Teen Challenge centres across Canada. And also, just to clarify, none of those centres are co-ed. So you might have got that impression from the video. Guaranteed, they are separate men's and women's centres. We do that on purpose. Because, you know, it can be a little bit distracting having single people of opposite sex in the same place, obviously. It's for a purpose that the Women's Centre is 8 hours from Sault Ste. Marie and 2 hours from London. We do that on purpose. Anyway, we're about to just start into our main part of our presentation today. I have with me a couple of men in our program. I have one man who is no longer a student. He's a graduate. And now he is what we call a phase four, or an intern, and that's Ozzy. Ozzy, please stand. And I also have Jeremy, and Jeremy is in his tenth month, pardon me. So Jeremy, please stand. Okay, so why is there a need for Teen Challenge? Well, there's a massive issue across our country, across North America, right around the world, this issue of alcohol and substance abuse. Just recently, the chief medical officer of all of Canada, you know, with the government of Canada, he released a statement, a very concerning statement about Canadians and their opinion, their viewpoint, the way they consider alcohol. And actually, he stated in this statement that Canadians view alcohol more as an ingredient for a meal or a component for a meal than they do for what it really is, a powerful mood and mind-altering chemical. So that's a secular person with the government who's making that statement and concerned about it. He also stated in that statement that every year 3,000 babies are born in Canada with fetal alcohol syndrome. And this is just devastating. The consequences, the things that arise from fetal alcohol syndrome can be quite debilitating going forward, and lots of heartbreak surrounding that. 23% of our Ontario high school students are offered, given, or sold drugs annually. That equals about 220,000 students every year are given, sold, or offered drugs at school every year. 47,000 Canadians die each year as a result of substance abuse, and the cost to our economy is astronomical. It equals about $40 billion every single year. That equals $1,500 for every man, woman, and child in Canada. It's amazingly, extremely, grossly destructive. But we're here today to tell you, and you take those statistics and you know what's happening. You read the news, you see what's happening all across Canada, right here in the Sioux. You can think there's no hope. But we're here today to tell you that there is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. I don't know if I can get this to work earlier. Can you advance it for me? Thanks. So Teen Challenge came to Sault Ste. Marie in about 2001. And that building there, that's our building on Great Northern Road, just north of the trading post on your way out of town. And we have capacity for 10 students and 4 interns. The students are housed in the upstairs part over this end of the building in 2 rooms, basically. with one bathroom, one sink, one toilet, and one shower. That's pretty crowded. So, you know, it's pretty tough. And in the wintertime, it gets cold up there. In the summertime, it gets hot. So the men that survive doing a 12-month program, might seem like 12 years, 12-month program, really, you know, they need to be commended because it's not great living conditions. And I'm going to talk more about the building a little bit later on. But since we opened the doors, about 350 men have come through the Teen Challenge program in Sault Ste. Marie. Now, some of those have graduated, and they've gone on to do wonderful things. We have a young man, Troy McLeod. He became a medical doctor. There's been a couple that have gone on to Bible college and entered the ministry. Some returned back to their families and their homes and their professions. Some of them didn't complete the program. But they're still doing well. And there's a couple of our guys recently in the last couple of years only got to about month 6 or 7 and decided to leave. But they've stayed in Sault Ste. Marie, and they're plugged into local churches, and they're leading Bible studies, and they're doing great. Others, you know, others of our graduates and those that also didn't finish the program, they're struggling, you know, and they continue to struggle. The enemy knows our weakness, and he knows how to attack us. And, you know, sometimes we make bad choices. The Lord gives us free choice. That's the great thing about our God. He loves us so much that he gives us the choice to love him back. And sometimes those choices aren't great. So I want to encourage you to continue to pray for all the Teen Challenge students, past, present, and future. They face a pretty tough struggle. But we believe that the seed that has been planted in their lives, in their heart, he will bring to full fruition. He will bring it to full growth, and there will be good fruit born in his timing. So please continue to pray for all of them. You probably are aware of other rehab programs that are available in the Sioux, right across the north, right across the province. Secular programs that are 30, 60, 90 days. They don't have a great success rate. What's the difference with Teen Challenge? The difference is Jesus Christ and our focus on the Word of God. You know, in 2 Timothy, it says that the Word is good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training, and equipping, and to prepare for every good work. It also says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word is alive, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes our thoughts and desires. We spend a lot of time in the Word of God. And I'm going to invite Jeremy to come now and share what the Lord's been doing in his life and what the Word has meant to him. So Jeremy, please come. Next slide.
Good morning. My name is Jeremy Vanderpost. I'm 19 years old, and I grew up in Brantford, Ontario. I grew up in a good Christian home with two loving parents and a twin sister, going to church every Sunday and attending youth group. I grew up living what you could call a normal childhood, as normal as you can get. Not really, but... playing sports like hockey, soccer, basketball, well, not basketball, baseball, swimming lessons, and going to elementary school with all kinds of friends in elementary school where we go out at recess and we play bulldog, get tackled, bruise knees, climb a tree, break an arm. Growing up was, growing up was good for me. Always had friends hanging out with, and after church, going and seeing friends. And after elementary school, when I graduated elementary school, going to high school, there was a huge transition for me. In grade 9, I was 4'7" and under 100 pounds. Along with that came a lot of bullying, every form, verbal, physical. I've been shoved in lockers, beat up, thrown around. In grade 11, I made a lamp for my cousin for his 25th birthday. Took me about 2 weeks to make it, nicely stained, and lot of time went into it. As I walked out of the wood shop, a guy came up behind me and just smashed it on the ground. I had a locker beside my sister. One day, a guy tapped her on the shoulder, and she turned around, and she was spit in the face. I've been called every name in the book because of my size. And I tried to find friends to hang out with that would just accept me. But I did things to be accepted. Like my sister sent me a letter a while ago. It said, I went through high school looking for friends just to feel accepted, not knowing who my real friends were. And as I say, they were just acquaintances who used me to get what they wanted so I could drive them somewhere or just hang out. Along with these friends came drinking and partying and living a party life. So going to church on Sunday, going to Bible studies and youth group, and during the day skipping class and leading a double life. In grade 11 and 12, I had about 8 or 9 different golf scholarship offers in the States. And 3 of them, I had good offers. To University of Georgia, Finlandia University in Michigan, and Flint College. I was supposed to make a few phone calls one day, and instead of making a phone call to one of the coaches to set up an interview to go down to the States, I let hanging out with friends and skipping class take priority over my future. After graduating high school, I left those people and started to live life the way God intended. I started going to church more and plugging in and working at an auto shop. Then one day, it was a Saturday, and my neighbor asked me to come over and do hay for him because I lived in the Brant County, the farming community of Brant, just outside of Brantford near Canesville. That day, I met a guy named Rajan. He asked me to come over that night, hang out after work. Little did I know where that night would lead to. It led to a summer full of partying, drinking, marijuana, hallucinogens, and light cocaine use. Some things I thought I'd never do. It led me into deep depression, and I became a person I never thought no one ever saw me as becoming. Shortly after New Year's of last year, I was very depressed, and I had no hope or no goals set in life. I didn't know what I wanted to do anymore. I knew I needed help, and I talked to my pastor, and he told me about Teen Challenge, and I thought I'd give it a shot. I entered the London program down south in February 10th of last year, but I only stayed till April. After suffering a concussion from rolling down a hill in a tire and being, in the winter. It was fine the first 4 times. The 5th time there was they set up a little bit of a jump. So I was home for about 5 days, and that 5 days really kind of ended that because I was home, I was able to see my sister, my parents, and I decided to leave when I got back. After I left, I decided to start off over my apprenticeship and worked at a Dodge dealership in Paris, Ontario. For about 6 or 7 months after I'd left, the 7th month I was there, one of the co-op students who was working with me went into my toolbox for a torque wrench, but he found my Mickeys instead, and he told my boss about that, and I was let go. Again, I didn't really know what to do at that point, because I'd relapsed and fell back into my old ways. October 28th, 5 days after my 19th birthday, there was a night that I went out. I told my mama and dad I was going to celebrate recovery. And on the way there, I had full intentions to go to Celebrate Recovery, but on the way there, my friend Jordan, who I'd hung out with a lot in high school, I don't even know how he managed to find my number or get a hold of me. It must have been on Facebook somewhere. But he gave me a call, and I went out with him that night, him and my friend Austin. I don't know how the only way I made it home that night was there was an angel. I was in the passenger seat. When I left my friend Jordan's, on the front porch, there was a guy there named, by the name of Mike, sitting there. I'd never seen him in my life, and he offered to drive me home. When I got home, I was in the driveway. I got out of the vehicle to say thank you, and I called to call a cab and pay for it. Mike was not there. There was no one there. I went through tremens and bad hallucinations that night. My mom in the morning asked me what happened, and I couldn't remember a thing other than to drive home. By the grace of God, I was able to get home that night, and I knew I needed help again, and I decided to call Teen Challenge that morning. I was accepted right away, and I entered the Teen Challenge program on November 10th. Sometimes I think about my friends that I used to hang out with, wonder how they're doing. My sister tells me how some of her friends hear how good I'm doing, and I hear about some of the things that my friends have gotten into. And all I can do is pray, because I know there's no way I can try and help them, because it'll just end me back up in a bad spot. Sometimes that hurts. 2 weeks after entering the program, my dad sent me a daily devotional, because I needed one. Because I was reading, what's that called? Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, and I'd read it the year before. My dad sent me the Duck Commander from the TV show Duck Dynasty. And inside it, he sent me a note saying, "Jeremy, true peace and serenity comes only from God. Through him, he will provide all you require. Put all your faith in him, and he will make the way. No one else or anything else is capable of this. Put all your faith in him, and he will lead you in the proper direction through this life. Love always, Dad." When I came to Teen Challenge, that's one of the first things that I felt was a calming and peace and serenity. Everyone there had the main goal in sight was to get a closer and deeper relationship with God. Since coming to Teen Challenge, I've been able to fully understand the passage of Romans 12:2. "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Over the last 10 months, I've been able to kind of be brainwashed, I guess, in a sense. Now, not in a bad way, by taking all the old negative thoughts and things that were in my mind and be able to get into the Word and understand what God is leading me to do. When I came to Teen Challenge, my Bible was pretty blank. Now it's like a little coloring book. I look forward to starting my future over here in Sault Ste. Marie again when I finish the program, and continuing my automotive apprenticeship with someone in town, doing a 3-month working internship to get my finances in check, and just still have a foundation behind me and get better rooted even further into the Word. I've met a lot of people my age at Bethel Bible Chapel and Bible Fellowship in Sault Ste. Marie. We go to a thing every Thursday called Faith and Fitness, where we do a good half-hour workout and then lead a Bible studies. Right now we're going through Romans, and I just continue to press in and look for ways to get involved in the community for when I get out, so I have a good support system and a good network of people to support me. One thing I'll leave with is Psalm 73, 21 to 24. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And the earth has nothing I desire besides you.
It's always amazing for me to witness the transformation that happens in the men's lives. And when Jeremy joined us, he really was a boy. But it's been my pleasure to watch him develop into becoming quite a wonderful young man. And Jeremy neglected to tell you an amazing thing that's been...
That's the first thing that came to my mind right after.
It's okay, bro. We'll share it. A couple weeks ago, we were over in Chelmsford doing an outreach, and Jeremy and our other student, Chris, who's not here today, were billeted with a lady and a very mature woman of God and a very spiritually minded. And Jeremy, if you any sponsors here who have Jeremy as a sponsor student? Okay, so the picture on his sponsor card, he's got glasses on. Well, he has had quite a severe vision issue with double vision in both eyes. And anyway, he's at this lady's house, and she senses that, you know, he's having trouble with his eyes. So she asks if she can pray for him. And so she did. And three times, and the vision got better with each prayer, until his double vision was cleared up on the third prayer. Now, we encouraged Jeremy to go to the optometrist and just to confirm everything. And now, I don't understand the scale, but anyway, there's a scale from 0 to 15, with 15 being severe. One of his eyes was 14. The other was 9. And now they are at 2. 2 and 4. So praise God. Yeah, just, you know, and these things, when these things happen, you know, wow, it's just, it's wonderful, it's miraculous, but it's all God. It's all Jesus, and we're so grateful for that. You know, I spent 20-some years in marketing and advertising, and I can tell you the last 10 years that I spent at Teen Challenge have been the best 10 years of my life. This is the best job I've ever had. To be part of this ministry and to witness what God does, it's amazing. I'm going to take just a couple of seconds before Ozzy comes to share and just kind of give you an update on how things are going at Teen Challenge. Now, you know, I mentioned at the beginning about the secular rehab programs that are 30, 60, 90 days. Maybe you're aware, maybe you're not. Those programs are extremely expensive. They can be up to $10,000 per month cost to the person that wants to go through them. There's a cost to Teen Challenge as well, but we keep it as low as we possibly can. We don't make it free, okay? There needs to be a cost, and the students need to take responsibility for some of that. The cost for our program, 12 months, is $1,100. That's $3 a day. And you might be wondering, well, how can you do that for $3 a day? Well, we can't. We need, you know, out of the tuition fees and the entrance fees, we can't do it. We rely on outreaches. We do 40 outreaches like this every single year. Okay, I myself have already done, this is my 21st outreach this year. So I don't get to go to church an awful lot, you know, at my home church. But we're out and we're talking to God's people. There's a few other things that we do also to help raise the funds. Now, you could advance the next slide. Maybe some of you are aware that we cut and split firewood. And we used to deliver it. We don't deliver it anymore. It got to be too expensive. But we still do about 300, 350 cords a year. And that raises for us about $20,000, $25,000. And so that's a good help. Next slide, please. We also have a golf tournament. And we had our golf tournament this year on July the 4th over at Crimson Ridge in Sault Ste. Marie. And through the a lot of hard work, the people that were involved, we were able to raise this year just under $46,000. So, you know, that was a tremendous day. We had an awful lot of fun. And if you enjoy golf, it'll be around the same time again next year, maybe a day later, day earlier, right around that first, we had it on Monday this time. So keep it on your radar if you want to get involved with that and help us raise some funds. It's a great day. We had a wonderful time. Next, please. Now, Brian mentioned as well this morning that we have a motorcycle ride coming up. It's September 24th. It's a three-hour motorcycle ride. We're hoping to be able to go up to Searchmont and then to Pancake and then back into the Sioux. And then after that, we're going to have a nice chicken dinner, an awards banquet. And again, some of our students will be there to share their testimonies of what God's doing in their life. If you ride a motorcycle or you know someone who does, drop it in their ear. Get involved. It's a great day. I know there's a few riders from here on the island that come over every year, and we have a wonderful time. Last year, we were hoping to raise $7,500, and we raised $9,100. This year, we're hoping to raise $10,000. So, you know, help us get the word out there. Talk it up. If you know anyone who likes to ride a motorcycle, send them our way. Send them to our website. You know, there's also a direct mail that we do. Maybe you get our newsletters. Maybe you get a newsletter with my picture and my signature on it. That's another big portion of revenue. If you've been adding up in your head, you know, the wood and the golf and the motorcycle ride, that's about $100,000. Our annual budget is about $500,000. So we need to raise about $400,000 through a few other avenues. But the most successful and the best revenue opportunity that we have is our monthly sponsorship program. And you received one of these brochures when you came in this morning. You know, if you're feeling that you want to get involved with our ministry at a little bit deeper level, and the Lord has blessed you and you're able to, please have a look at this. I can't tell you how important it is that we have that regular monthly income. $40 a month, $480 for the year. It is really what keeps us operating. It's the lifeblood. It's the revenue stream that keeps us afloat at Teen Challenge. Currently, we have 350 monthly sponsors across the North. If we were able to get to 800 monthly sponsors in the next 5 years, we would totally cover our expenses. And the money that we raise at our events, like the golf tournament, the Freedom Ride, the money that we raise selling wood, we would be able to put towards a capital campaign to improve our building. It is way overdue. We need to do some things to our building just because it's not adequate. One sink, one toilet, one shower for 10 men doesn't do it. So we have plans to make an addition over part of our building that would probably triple the size of our dorm space, triple the size of our bathroom space. We'd create a new chapel, a new classroom. We'd be able to consolidate our office space into one half of the building and just provide, and also provide some recreational facilities for the guys. A small building that we could have a half-court basketball court as well as some exercise space. That's coming. And you'll hear more about our capital campaign in the weeks and months to come. But again, coming back to that sponsorship, please consider it. And if you are considering it, I'd love to talk to you more about it at the end of our service. You know, the guys are sharing their testimony today, and it is such a huge, important part of the program. The Word says in Revelation that we shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And now Ozzie's going to come, and he's going to share how the Lord has been helping him to overcome. Next slide.
Good morning, everybody. Say a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for everybody in this church, Lord, and thank you for your mercy and your grace upon us, Lord, when we fall short. I pray for Luke, Lord, for healing for this man, and Lord, I pray that our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding will increase, Lord. and be everything be done for your glory and praise. Amen. My name is Ozzy, and I'm 40 years old, and I grew up in Scarborough, Ontario. I was born in a loving Christian family, and I went to church every Sunday with my family. I played road hockey with all the rest of the kids growing up. I tried out for a football team when I was 10, and we went on to win two championships back-to-back in 85 and 86. Life was good in my younger days, but life would take a change when my mom and the rest of my family moved to a different area in Scarborough. I had to find new friends, and then things would take a drastic change in my life. I was introduced to marijuana and cigarettes, and I started smoking at a very young age. I soon lost the urge to go to class, and I ended up dropping out of school early. I started hanging out with the wrong kind of people and being thrown into jail many times for this behavior. This would go on for many years. My uncles told me that I should get a trade, do something with my life, but I decided to go my own way. I was selling drugs, carrying guns for protection, and just being an unruly person. I didn't care about anything, and I was once shot at, and I'd been stabbed in the chest. I often wondered if I was to die living this carefree life, if I would go to hell. I knew I'd go to hell, but I didn't care at the time. I was enjoying the life I was living. After I got news that a couple of my friends were killed and news that I had a son, I decided I needed to change my lifestyle. But I didn't totally get out of the life I was in. I stopped hanging out with the people I was involved with. But I was still drinking, smoking, and partying. But change would come when I ended up in a jail cell on a minor charge with some friends I grew up with. Most of them committing serious criminal offenses, ranging from murder, extortion, drug dealing, and organized crime. Being with these friends in jail, I realized I was heading for destruction. While in jail, I met a prison chaplain named Bill Nickerson, who is my mentor to this day. He took a bunch of us into a quiet room for a Bible study. Then he asked us, "If you all died tonight, where do you think you'd go? Hell or heaven?" As we all looked around at each other, we all agreed and realized that we'd all go to hell if we died tonight. Then he started to tell us how Jesus Christ paid the debt for our sins, past, present, and future. He gave us all hope that day, and that's the day I found out I had a second chance. I decided I was going to take my second chance. When I got out of jail, I contacted Bill, and I started going to church. And one day, I gave my life to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Like the prodigal son, I was lost and then I was found. But although I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was still drinking and partying, and I ended up in jail on a DUI charge. But I never gave up on Jesus at that time. After my mentor, Bill, told me about Teen Challenge, I decided to give it a try. And I walked in the doors of Teen Challenge, May 2013. In my seventh month, I became a mentor to the new students coming in the program to encourage them with the word of God, and encourage them to press on and to finish the program. I would go on to graduate, and my mentor, Bill, was there cheering me on. After I graduated, I stayed on to do an internship. After completing 3 months, my mom passed away. She was a diabetic, on dialysis, and an amputee. After my dear mom's funeral, there was a wake. When we go back to her place for food talking with friends. I saw my brother and his friends drinking and smoking, and at that time the seed was planted back into me. I would go on to finish my internship at Teen Challenge. After that, I got my own place, and I became prideful after about 5 or 6 months. And I began depending on myself instead of Christ. Forgot to pray and read my Bible, do my devotions in the morning. Soon after that, I started an unchristian relationship with a woman I met. And then it happened. She offered me a cooler. I didn't take it the first week, but the next week, on the weekend, I took a drink. And I couldn't stop drinking after that. It went from evening drinking soon to binge drinking. I started going to the beer store every morning when it opened. At this time, I knew I was in a lot of trouble. I have a mentor named Brian Arbaster, who would hold me accountable. But when I started drinking, I was hiding the beer cans from him. But one morning, he came and I forgot to hide the cans. And he came in, and I had a hangover, and he looked at me, smiled, said good morning, and then he looked to the right, and he saw the big bag of cans. Well, that day I drank a 2-4 by myself. I forgot who I was as a child of God. And like the Bible says, I started relying on myself and I didn't trust in the Lord. Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, that a dog returns to his vomit and a soul to roll around in the mud. Like the prodigal son, I was in the pig pen again, drinking. As I drifted further and further away from the people God put in my life, I would then eventually come back to my senses while I was in the washroom brushing my teeth. And the TV was set on a certain channel, I don't remember. And it was Norman Stanley? Charles Stanley. And he was talking about the prodigal son. And I could just hear his voice saying, "It's okay, come home. There's no shame for you." And that touched me that day. And I decided I was going to give my mentor a call and tell him what was going on. And after I came back to my senses, I called my mentor, and he asked me how I was doing. I told him I needed help, and he asked me what I was going to do about it. And I said, "I'm going to go back to Teen Challenge." And immediately, he said he'll drive me. This is a 12-hour drive from Pickering, Ontario. This man, who I met in jail, a total stranger, has stuck by me all this time. This man loved me with the love that Christ showed me. And I thank God every day that he put this man in my life. I'm now back at Teen Challenge North, getting my life back in order. And I'm thankful for the staff, like Chuck, Murray, Rob, Sister Sue, who was part of me getting my life back on track and being the man that God wanted me to be in the first place. If it wasn't for Teen Challenge, I'd likely be dead or in prison on very serious charges. I've done many things in my life that I'm not proud of, and I got away with it. And God gave me a second chance. After being surrounded by violence and bad influences most of my life, Teen Challenge is a place of refuge and accountability for me now. After going through all I went through, I know that my Lord and Savior has plans for my life, plans for a future and a hope. And this time I plan on making it His will, listening to His voice with direction and guidance. I do everything for His glory. As I move forward in my life, I've noticed that the roots, the core issues that have held me down for so many years are starting to break. Core issues such as guilt, shame, anger, and resentment. I find that God is leading me in the path of righteousness, and I'm finally living a life worth living. As God continues to break off the roots of my past, I find Him drawing me closer to the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God has placed His hand of healing upon my life, and I'm forever grateful. I have a son, and he's 11 years old. And last year, he went on to win a championship football game, and I was there to witness it. To see him raise that trophy and to just see him there was just breathtaking. I couldn't even look. I had to turn away and go, well. My son lived in Mississauga, and not being with him is really hard. But the Bible does say that we need to remove the speck from our eye before we try to take the plank out of somebody else's. I'm slowly leading my boy to Christ when we do Bible studies on Skype. And I'd love to be able to move back, but the influence is too big and strong that if I did go back, I would probably fall back into bad habits, old habits. So I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not looking back like Lot's wife. I'm keeping my eyes on the plow that the Lord set before me. When I came back to Teen Challenge to do my refresher program, the 6 months, I wasn't sure what the Lord had planned for me. I had no hope. And I just kept on praying that He wouldn't tell me to go back to Toronto. And I prayed and I prayed and I pressed into my program, and I went to the churches and got connected with people, and God started to speak to me and tell me what He wanted for my future. And I prayed to Him that I can build healthy relationships, and He answered my prayer. And now I'm soon going to be a member at Bible Fellowship Church. And I volunteered to clean up, to be on one of the cleaning crews for Saturday. I also want to go back and get my GED, because I dropped out of school in grade 9. And I want to settle down and live here in the Sault Ste. Marie, because something is just telling me not to go back to Toronto. The shootings every night, drug selling, and I know a lot of people that are doing stuff like that. And like I said, Lot's wife looked back and she turned to stone. And there's so much scriptures in the Bible that encourage me not to go back. So I decided I'm going to stay in the Sault. While I'm going to school, I plan on starting a plan for my own business, because I know how to cook. I got my food handling certificate, and that really boosted my confidence to want to start my own business. So if I do start a business, you guys can come and support me. And I'm a really good cook. Chuck and all of them know I'm a pretty good cook. The guys like my food. So I'm going to finish up with a scripture here. Psalms 40, 1 and 2. I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me. He heard my cry, and He brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. Thank you for listening to my story, and enjoy the rest of the service.
Next slide, just a couple slides just to show some of the grads, recent grads that have come through the program. And you know, it really is wonderful to be a part of the graduation ceremony when our young men are reunited with their families. Next slide. Great picture of one of our grads, you know, greeting his mom at the end of his ceremony. You know, that's what it's all about. It's about reunion. It's about reconciliation. The ministry of Jesus is a ministry of reconciliation. You know, Psalm 127 says that children are a gift from God. And I, myself, have three children. And when I read that, I would just kind of read that from my own perspective, that my three children were God's gift to me. Totally not thinking that I was a child. We all were children. Therefore, all of us are God's gift to each other, to our communities, to our church, to the province, to the whole world. Think of that. You are God's gift. We're God's gift to each other. I just want to finish with one last story. Advance it two slides, please. One more. Yep, there. Since coming here to the north, you know, I spent 95% of my life within about 50 miles of the place I was born in southern Ontario. And since coming to the north, we've been exploring and discovering this beautiful area, this beautiful part of the country, with some lovely, lovely places. And this is one of our favorites. Does anyone recognize that?
Lake Huron?
Nope.
Superior.
It's Superior, but Superior is pretty big. Specifically, anyone? It's Catherine's Cove in Lake Superior Park. And we like to go there as often as we can. And we were there one day in the summer, two summers ago, enjoying a beautiful day. No one else was around. My wife and I just spread out our blanket right out there on the beach, and we were just soaking it all in. God's beautiful creation, the lovely water. It was actually warm enough to swim there that day. It was warm enough to swim in Lake Superior for about 45 minutes that year, in between the ice and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we, and you know, just loved it. And then God sent us this wonderful gift. He sent us a little hummingbird that just kind of came down along the beach, right behind where we were sitting on the beach and collecting nectar from the little flowers, only about 3 feet away from us. And then it continued on the beach, and I had my binoculars, so I kept watching it. It went about 100 feet further, and then it did something totally unnatural, totally unexplained. Flew about 15 feet up into the air and then dive bombed into the water. And it fluttered up to the surface, it took off, and it went about 10 feet back into the water. Did that twice more, and I motioned to my wife, said, "Look what that bird's doing." And she got up and she ran down and scooped the bird out of the water. Next slide. There it is. Beautiful. Have you ever seen a hummingbird up close? I mean, their feathers are tiny and they're iridescent. They change color as the sunlight hits it from different angles. And it spread its wings out and its tail feathers out. And it was soaked, you know, so, okay, you know, we're going to bring it back to our blanket so it can dry itself off in the sun. And then we just let it fly away. Didn't happen that way. Brought it back to the blanket, set it down, started to convulse, and then it died. And my day was ruined.
Sorry.
It was. I felt like I had been punched in the stomach. You know, we were given this little gift and it died right in front of us. So we buried it in the sand. And we packed up our stuff and we headed back into Sault Ste. Marie. And I'm praying, you know, God, why did you have to show us that? Why did you have to? We were having such a great day. And then this little bird dies. Well, here's what the Lord told me. He said, "You're concerned about this little bird. But how does it make me feel when my precious children do things that are unnatural and unexpected? When they look to a bottle or a pill or a powder or a weed for their acceptance, for their relief from pain, for their relief from shame and guilt, for their pleasure? How does it make me feel when they struggle in their addiction and they die?" It breaks his heart. It breaks God's heart. God loves us so much. in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 31 is one of my favorite scriptures, and really, you know, it is what our ministry is all about. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, 31, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to me. Take rest. Learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what happens at Teen Challenge. I did a study on this verse for a men's group, men's breakfast over in South River. And I looked at a commentary that had the Greek, original Greek words. And I was stopped with the very first word, that word come. Our English language does not do the original Greek justice. We take come for granted. Okay, in the Greek, it's a very strong imperative word. It's not this. It's not come. It's not come. Something much stronger. How many Blue Jays fans do we have? A few Blue Jays fans. All right. Man, they're making a run again this year. Last year, it seemed to me it was a little more exciting last year. If you remember, there was quite a few plays at home plate last year. Come around third, you know, trying to stretch it out and sneak in before the throw. When those guys were coming around third, Kevin Pillar, Josh Donaldson, Ryan Goins, when they were coming around third, what was the third base coach doing? That is how strongly Jesus wants us to come. But unlike the third base coach, who was only halfway between third and home, Jesus is at the plate with arms wide open. I don't know what you're going through, but I know from experience that pretty well every church that we go to, there's at least a couple people who know someone who is struggling, either with addiction or with something else, and their heart is broken. Maybe they're struggling themselves. I don't know where you're at today. If you yourself are struggling or someone that you love is in trouble, you know, you've heard about exchange programs in the city where addicts can go and they can exchange their dirty needles, get new ones, and they even provide them a place where they can use. Okay? Teen Challenge is an exchange program. It is. Not needles. It's heart exchange. They come with broken and shattered hearts, or they come with hearts that are hard as stone. And if they submit, if they lay it before the throne of God, He will replace it with a heart that is tender and of flesh and that is capable of giving and receiving love again. That is what happens at Teen Challenge. Maybe today, if you're struggling, maybe today is your day for a heart exchange too. If that's you today and you need encouragement, please speak with us, speak with Jeremy, speak with Ozzy, speak with Brian, the other leaders here at the church. We become stronger when we're together. You don't have to hide. You don't have to be alone. Maybe today's your day. God bless you. I know we went a little bit long. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for supporting our ministry. You are a vital part of our ministry team. We cannot provide the ministry that we do without you and without people like you. There's an opportunity for you to give. The basket is on our table. If the Lord has directed you, thank you. God bless you. Thanks again for the opportunity, Brian. Thanks so much. God bless.